Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 6. The book of 2 Chronicles and chapter number 6. We're in our mini-series of the power of God's name, and through this, we're seeing not just God's names, but how to use God's names. And as we go through the Bible, we can see that there are many different ways that the Bible tells us we can use His name. We find one in a very interesting part of the Word of God in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 6. Now, for those of you who've been here for a while, you are probably familiar with this message. We've preached it twice within the last couple of years in the life and ministry of Solomon and in a series of prayer the year before that. And so my desire is not to re-preach a message that you've heard before. However, I do want to highlight a specific way of using God's name that is found within this message that actually interconnects the entire prayer that Solomon has. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, and notice with me, starting at verse number 22. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, and verse 22. If a man sin against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath came before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, by justifying the righteous, and by giving him according to his righteousness. And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name, and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people, and bring them again unto the land which thou givest to them, and to their fathers. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of 2 Chronicles in chapter number 6? 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and notice with me in verse 24, confess thy name. Confess thy name. And with this, we want to preach this idea of confessing thy name within the context of what we find this through, and then make it so it's a help to us. Confess thy name. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And Lord, as we come to you, I just so recognize my own inability, my own lack, my own shortcomings, my own failings. Lord, I'm just right now an unusable mess. But Lord, with you, all things are possible. I'm coming to you recognizing I cannot depend on anything of my flesh, my will, my desire. I have nothing to offer you. But you can do your own work through your precious spirit, through your word. Lord, those are what we're depending upon. With a message like this, Lord, it has to come from you or it does no good. However, with your spirit, with your power, with your word, Lord, you could change and turn revival. Lord, we know the difference between revival and failure is if you do it rather than me. Lord, you grab a hold of your folks' heart. You give them a great spiritual understanding. And Lord, you glorify your own name. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you familiar with the context, King Solomon has just finished building the temple. And as he has just finished building the temple, he is now dedicating the temple to the Lord. The beginning of this chapter begins with him praying, and he gets up on a platform before the people, and he bows himself down before God in front of all of the people. And as Solomon begins to pray, he begins to list several different conditions which we see, then hear from heaven, then hear thou from the heavens, then hear from heaven. And of course, some of you are familiar with that. In fact, some of you probably already have that highlighted in your Bible, marked in your Bibles, where we see that. This has been an important message because it's a message of talking to God. Now, interesting enough that most of the context of this if-then statements is pretty much if the people get in trouble, that when they find themselves in bondage, when they find themselves outside of their land, when they find themselves in captivity, when they find themselves with the issues of sin, when they find themselves in this situation or not, and that Solomon is talking to God and he is securing this idea that we can talk to God, and that if we talk to God and confess thy name. This now shows that this is the important part of this, that without a doubt, all of us have consequences from sin of our life. We have past sin that has come back to haunt us. We have sins that we have currently do that we don't have victory over. We have things that have fallen apart in our life. And may I say that so often we get to the place where we just shrug our shoulders and say we have to live with the consequences. But this passage here says something a little bit different. And we have the key here: confess thy name. Confess thy name. A lot of people have a hard time with that word confession. The word confession carries with it the idea that we agree with God. We agree with God. For example, when we confess our sins, we are not telling on ourselves. God already knows. When we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God with what he said about our sins. Confession becomes a very important part of the Christian life, and may I say it's the one area that we really neglect. Because true confession will come with true repentance, that we admit that we're wrong. One of our problems, and again, I dare you to be self-discerning, that oftentimes we love to justify ourselves. Have you ever talked to God and you feel guilty? God's convicted you. You know you did something wrong, and you say, God, I was wrong, but. And that word but means you don't really believe the first part, but you know, you feel like you have to. And you proceed to tell the all-knowing God, who knows the end from the beginning, who knows my heart motive, and try to convince him while I was justified to do that action. I know I told a lie, but what has happened is that we haven't honestly confessed. We haven't honestly dealt with our sin. We haven't honestly repented. When we read this passage here and we see these conditions here, what we're seeing is that these people, these are future events. And by the way, all of this is going to be fulfilled in the nation of Israel. They are going to be put in captivity. They are going to be driven from their lands. They are going to have consequences. And God is saying, listen, I'm giving you an open invitation to confess my name. Now, confessing our sins is agreeing with God with what our sins are. Does this mean that this is something else, that we are confessing God? No, it's carrying with the same idea, that I'm confessing that you're God and I've broken your rules. You are God, I have violated what you told me to do. You are God, and I'm a pipsqueak, and I cannot justify myself to God. We have consequences that come in our life. And I understand that consequences don't go away, but we use our consequences to stay living in defeat. Maybe we have family members that are away from the Lord. And if we were to be honest, we have a hand in it. But we don't like to admit that it was our problem. We want to blame it on them, society, this, that, the Dr. Spock, whatever it is. And we live with the consequences. And we're brokenhearted. And we wish things would be different. But, you know, so it goes. And we lose out in the victory that God has promised us. Do you know, we can pray all we want that God would turn someone around. But the idea here is that we have to be turned around first. We have to admit that I messed up. It was mine. And there's no thing, I did it. I was wrong. I shouldn't have responded that way. I shouldn't have done this way. I honestly believe, and by the way, it's proven in the Bible and proven in history, when people finally get thoroughly right with God and say, Lord, I messed up. I didn't raise my kids right. I didn't do this situation right. I didn't treat my parents right. Or whatever the situation is, I messed up my marriage. I messed up. You know, these are all things that we have excuses for. And if we're be honest, we all do that. The reason why my relationship with my wife isn't the way it should be, you know, it's her fault. If she was, well, I could blame her all I want, but nothing will ever change then. I have to recognize that regardless of what she's done, I have a part in it. And if I was right with God as I ought to be, there would be healing. Some of us have parents that are estranged from us. And we might want to admit that, you know what, I may have had a hand in that. Yeah, I know my mom's crazy, but you know, we need to get to the place where we recognize that God is God. He sees it all. And we're not going to be able to talk our way out of it. We're not going to have to explain our way out of it. That we finally need to admit that he's God and that he was right. I was wrong. And I'm asking you to forgive what I've done. It has been amazing to watch moms who... I give a real life scenario. There was a mom who had a son who was off in the world, but she did the ostrich in the sand. He's right. Oh, he's doing this. And she would lie and make excuses of where he was really at. Not, you know, because she wanted everyone to think that her household was right. And she wouldn't admit that things were failed. And it wasn't until she got to the place where she was serious with God and said, God, I'm wrong. I didn't do this. And she began to pray differently because she's no longer making excuses. She's praying differently because she's no longer blaming the kid. She's praying differently because she's no longer blaming the husband or the circumstances. I messed up. I'm wrong. And Lord, would you please forgive my sin and restore? I messed up. You know, there was a lot of times that I am honestly convinced that is what God is waiting for us to finally do, to get to the place where we admit, I am the problem. I messed up. I have no excuses and no justifications. I confess your name, that you're God and you are right. I did not want to admit that I was wrong. I did not want to admit that I was the issue. I don't want to admit that it was my problem. Quickly, keep that in mind. Let's just glance at some of these things in here just to show that is what is being addressed here. Notice in verse 24, and if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy. Why? Because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name. Who? The enemy? No, Israel. They're the ones who sinned. They're the ones who need a return. They're the ones who sinned. They're the ones who need to confess that God was right and God is God and I'm in the wrong. Confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from heaven. Notice that word then. That word then shows that there's an order. We cannot expect God to hear from heaven until we have admitted that we're wrong, we return to God and confess that he's God and I was wrong the whole time. Then, that's important. We can't expect the then to come out of order. Remember, as we were just saying, God is waiting for us to get right to fix the others. He has to wait for the then. He has to wait until we're willing to admit that it was me all along. It was my issue, my fault, my problem. And I need to take this seriously because they will never get fixed until we do the first part, and that's admit that it was us. Admit that I had the issue. Admit that it was my problem. This, by the way, is revival. Revival doesn't come until we get serious about our sin, serious about who we are in the Lord, and serious about who he is. Then thou wilt hear from heaven and forgive the sin of thy people, Israel, and bring them again to the land that thou gavest to them. Verse 26, heaven is shut up and there's no rain because they have sinned against thee. Yet if they prayed towards this place and confess thy name. Notice a second time. Confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them. Then, so once again, we have this order. We go. In fact, it says, pray towards his house. Go to where God's name is mentioned at. We get right with God. We're back into his house. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. I'm returning to you. I'm admitting that it was my issue. I confess that you're God. You're the only help for this. I need to be right with you. Then hear thou from heaven, forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel when thou hast taught them the good way. So, here it says that God taught them the good way and they returned. They responded to God because of the preaching of God's word. I realize that I'm the issue. It's not God's fault. It's not someone else's fault. It's not their fault. It's me. I need to get right and return. Then, so because they were taught the good way, they now responded. They were taught them the good way wherein they should walk and send the rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. Notice there's another example. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of the land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be. Now, verse 28 is like a catch-all. Listen, when everything else is falling apart in your life, you know what you should probably start with? Confessing God's name. Instead of blaming the economy and the Democrats and this and that and whatever Elon Musk is doing and this and I need to get right. I need to make sure that I'm thoroughly right with God. Confessing his name, returning to him. Stop blaming everyone else for my problems, my situations, for the things that are going wrong in my life. And blame me. Confess his name. And get right with him. Verse 29. Then what prayer or supplication shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house. So verse 29, when they realize, look, it's me, it's my sore, my grief, mine, it's personal now. I'm the issue. I go to God's house and pray and confess his name. Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive and render every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways so long as they live in the land which thou givest unto thy fathers. Praise the Lord. That here is this idea that we have consequences. And again, we see this through history. This isn't just preaching. This is saying this is what happened in history. You had some people who would blame everyone else. It's someone else's fault. They even got to a place where they would blame the preacher. It's Isaiah's fault. It's Jeremiah's fault. I wouldn't feel so bad if the preacher wouldn't preach those messages. They would blame everyone else. That when God took the people from Judah and brought them to Babylon, the people said, well, good riddance, they were the problem. Our land's going to be better now that God took them away. They would blame everyone else, but rather than admit that they are the issue, they are the problem. They needed to get right. And the people would be glad to kind of ride out the consequences as long as they didn't have to admit they were the problem. This happens today. There are so many people who, whether it's intentional or just self-deception, but they refuse to admit that they are the problem. When we do marriage counseling, usually it starts off with one person coming. And they usually say, my husband, my wife is the problem. And they want to tell me everything that the other one did wrong. And I'll look at them almost every time. I don't have them in the office. I have you. You're the only person I can deal with. Let's work on this. But I don't need it. I've actually heard someone say this. I don't need it. The idea is that many times we don't want to admit that we've done wrong. We could do that at work. Ever mess up at work? And then the boss comes and then we don't admit that we did something wrong, or we blame someone else, or we let the boss assume someone else messed up, and we're not very good at blaming ourselves, taking the blame. And we like to think that our world is ordered. If we were to be honest tonight and let God reveal us openly, there's not a single person in this room that has the ordered life you like to pretend and like to show that you have. Now, I'm saying that because we're all in the same boat. What are people going to think about me? Listen, they're too worried about thinking of their own problems. We all have issues. There's none righteous, no, not one. You like all of us? Yes, if you were to examine my life in a microscope and see the secret life, you wouldn't want to be friends with me anymore either. You understand? I'm trying to say that for transparency because we all have that. We all like to pretend we have an ordered life, that we have a good life. We like to pretend that we are fine. When inside we're saying, I got all these consequences and I don't know what to do. It's their fault and this fault. And life would be better if it wasn't for this. And we all like to blame everyone and everyone else. But we don't like to get to the place to confess. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We don't like to confess that perhaps, maybe, in some idea, I might actually be a part of the problem. If my mom didn't raise me this way, if my dad didn't do this, if my grandfather didn't do this. I was just talking with Brother Chagallis over lunch, and he says one of the problems that they have working with the people inside of Bulgaria is that the people of Bulgaria, very few have any type of Christianity ties. The ones that do have now wrapped themselves into an emotional spiritualism that's not Bible spiritualism. And that many of them are taught and believe that there is called a generational curse. That my grandfather messed up, and because of that, I have a demon that is bothering me. They actually believe that. And it's very hard to convince them that, you know, it's not your grandfather's fault. it's yours. You see, they're going to an extreme not to admit it is their problem. My grandfather's demon is plaguing me because my grandfather messed up. I am cursed to suffer. No, God is a God of freedom. God is a God of liberty. God is a God of restoration. That's part of confessing God's name. God, you don't want me to have to live under this bondage that I've been stuck in. You want to break these chains, set the captives free, and I am captive because of my own sin and my own consequences. And you could be freed from that. Now, I'm not saying erasing consequences. What I am talking about is a revival and a restoration. I honestly believe with all of my heart that many of the people that we love that are away from the Lord, God will get them fixed. If we would get to the place where we admit that it's us and we get thoroughly right with God. Now, hold on to that thought. Now we have an element of pride. If we don't admit that, and if the pastor's right, that they won't get right until we get right, our pride can keep them from getting close to God. Our pride can keep them from getting restoration. Our pride can keep them from having the benefits that God wants to give to them. You see, now it's all about selfishness. I don't want to admit that I'm the problem, even if doing so will allow them to get restored. You see, the consequences go beyond you. But the whole time we are selfish. I'm perfect. I'm good. I'm not in the wrong. It's not my fault. And if we would confess thy name and get thoroughly right with God, I want to say, put God to the test. See if he's not the restoring God he promised to be. But it takes for us to be honest with ourselves and allow God to be God. Now, because this is a serious subject and because I don't want this rushed, we're going to do invitation a little bit different. Instead of having the piano, one of the things about having a piano is that it's nice to have music because the silence can be deafening. The problem with it is that sometimes we use that as a timing device and say, I've only got this small limited time to pray. This type of confession will not come in a couple seconds time. Why? Because a certain thing called flesh. Do you know it's going to take a bit of time for you to finally break through the flesh? Because as much as you would like to admit that you're wrong, your flesh is going to fight that. And you're going to find that even if you want to confess, your flesh is going to come up with an excuse and justification, and it's someone else's problem and a deflection. And for some of us, it's going to take a minute. Not a literal minute, but the idea that it's going to take some time to punch through that flesh where you could finally be honest with God without your flesh fighting you. And so what we're going to do as an invitation is that we're going to pray in just a moment, and then you could feel free to scatter. You take your time. Don't get in a rush. I purposely shortened this message so you could feel like you don't have to worry about a time crunch. If you want to go find a corner, take your time. Last one to be done, close up shop. If you're here for 2 hours, you're here for 2 hours. Now, I'm saying that because I guarantee that if you start getting serious with God, by experience, your flesh is going to fight you. And you have to conquer that with the Lord's help to get to the place where you could finally be free to admit to God and pour yourself out. But as a scientific experiment to put God to the test, wouldn't it be wonderful if by the time Resurrection Sunday came up, the impossible started to happen, that some of our loved ones showed back up to church? Some of the people that we've been praying for showed up to church. And we realized that it wasn't them that was holding things back. It was us. And we could see this whole church house filled because God can finally put the blessings on because we were confessing his name, that it was God. He was right the whole time. And I've just been justifying myself, deflecting, and refusing to admit I had the problem. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.